Hello again, brethren.
Hello.
Why aren't you just up there?
This is something I've thought of for some time. And I just thought I didn't have enough information. I kept putting it off. I still don't have enough information. But I thought enough is enough. Let's get it done. This sermon is called A Shadow of Things to Come. A Shadow of Things to Come. And that's the world that we live in today. This exciting world. This fascinating world. This world where things that you can't even imagine happen sometimes. And you say, wow, I never thought that could happen. It's a mysterious world. And the Lord has given it to us and put us in it that we might learn. Pablo?
Yes.
Just move it closer to you.
Okay, we need the expert to figure out the problem. I was saying the Lord gave us. Thank you, Pablo. The Lord gave us this world, the things in it, the problems, the troubles, and the beautiful things that we enjoy and love so much. He gave it all to us that we might learn and grow. And he told us in his word, it's a shadow of things to come. This is not the real McCoy. This is not what we're going to be having when the kingdom comes and we live in that kingdom. Today, in this world, there's an abundance of riches. Beautiful things, interesting things, exciting things, and fascinating things. But it's not the real thing yet. Now, speaking of riches, let's have a peep at the world's richest men. We have Bernard Arnault. He is worth $195 billion. One man is worth $195 billion. Last year it was Elon Musk, but he lost a few billion. What's a few billion? In his investments. And now he is number two at $171 billion. This is the kind of riches that the Lord has given us. Then there's Jeff Bezos, I think his name is pronounced. $126 billion. And Bill Gates, who used to be way up there, he's now $121 billion. We're talking about billions of dollars. These men could satisfy most of the people in the world. I say most because not all of us are impressed with money. Many of us just want to know that we are comfortable and we can do the things that we need to do. And then some of us just want what the Lord wants us to have. So they could buy anything their heart desires, satisfy the hearts of so many others. But a lot of them are not happy. They're just not happy. They have the money. Some of them don't even have the health to enjoy. They're too sick. The word tells us in Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, don't wear yourselves out to get rich because you know better. Stop. As soon as your eyes fly to it, it disappears. You work, you struggle, you get all the riches you want. And as soon as it comes, it goes again. As soon as your eyes fly to it, it disappears. For it makes wings for itself. It flies like an eagle to the sky. It makes wings for itself. It disappears. 1 Chronicles 29 and verses 12 and 13 tells us, riches and honor come from you. You are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. That's what we should be saying. That's what we should be saying. There's an account in the Word when a very rich young man came to Jesus Christ. He wanted to gain eternal life, and he had everything that he needed and more. Every material thing. And apparently he gained it honestly. He was honest. He didn't play the tricks that some of the business people played. But he felt he was missing something. Something is missing. So he went to the Lord and he asked him, what can I do? What can I do? He believed Jesus, and he believed Jesus could help him. Let's see the account in Mark, the 10th chapter, 21 through 25. So looking at him, Jesus loved him. And he said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. That is something that a believer should be happy to hear the Lord say, come, follow me. To be with the Lord, you'll be safe, you'll be having all the things that you need. Not all the other things that's just waste. But he was dismayed by this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. When you have these things, you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose it. You want to hold on to it. You want to keep it. That's why you worked so hard. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished at his words. Again, Jesus said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Why is that? Is it because riches are bad? No, it's not. It's because riches corrupt you, if that's all you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Just give me the riches. It corrupts you. And you give all your attention to that rather than the thing that really saves you. The thing that really saves you is God's blessings. God's blessings. And this young man, he just didn't realize that his riches was just a shadow of things to come. He thought it was something that he must have. And he knew he couldn't take it with him, but he acted as though it was something he would take with him after he died. And that makes it tough for so many of us when we have things, especially things that we work hard to get. We work hard to get. We have to be also careful when we're working hard for something. We are not neglecting. This is for believers. We're not neglecting the things of God. Because then we make that thing more important than God. He did not realize that Jesus possessed and could, and not just could give, but offered him the things that would bring him everlasting life. The same thing that he was seeking for, but he was seeking for it through his riches. So he went away grieving and so sad, as though he had no hope. Let's look at Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verses 3 through 6. And it says, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Good will come to the one who lends generously and conducts his business fairly. He will never be shaken. The righteous one will be remembered forever. So, when we treat the riches that we're given in the right way, we are blessed for it. We need to share. We need to be fair. We need to be honest. And then we're blessed. But the riches that we should strive to achieve, to be remembered forever by God, are the ones that come after the riches of this world, after the material riches. Those are the ones that we should be looking for. Philippians, the fourth chapter, and verse 19. It says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. The real riches, the riches in glory in Jesus Christ, comes from God. And it blesses us tremendously. In the kingdom, there will be no needs that will not be met. When we get there, and we all hope to, we will have everything that we need. And everyone will have everything that he needs. There won't be these classes where only you could have this very expensive car. Only you can have the mansion. We'll all be treated, I guess, in a similar manner to when the church first started. And those who had a lot of riches sold it and brought it all to the apostles, and they started. I guess that must have been the first commune. But it was a righteous and holy commune. Everybody was able to be fed and taken care of at that time. And I imagine that the kingdom will be like that. Deuteronomy 8, verses 16 through 19 says, he fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your ancestors had not known, in order to humble and test you, so that in the end, he might cause you to prosper. And this verse again is talking about the Israelites. They had been coming out of Egypt, and they were not showered with a lot of material riches. They had to be gradually given the things that they would be thrilled with, but they were not given all these things at once. They had to get them a little at a time because they were being tested. The Lord says that he wanted to make them humble and to test them so that in the end they may prosper. 17, you may say to yourself, my power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant he swore with your ancestors, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord, your God, and follow other gods and serve them and bow and worship to them, I testify against you today that you will certainly perish. This is what would happen to anyone. This is the example we got, but it would happen to anyone who will seek God just to get the material blessings, the material gain. And then it's really dangerous after, if you would turn around, forget about God, and think that you would use those blessings that he gave you just for yourself, or just to do what you want to do. So God gave, at the end, gave them all the blessings that you know they had. And they did what they wanted. And what happened? They were punished. They were punished. So God gave great things to mankind. But it's not as precious as the blessings that he will give us when we come to the kingdom. We have to be very careful not to make it too special to ourselves. I'm not saying don't appreciate. Appreciate, but don't make it so special to yourselves that you put it ahead of everything else. It's just a shadow of things to come. We have things of beauty. To some people, a beautiful scenery they could stand and look at all day. They would take drives to the countryside. Such beautiful scenery. To others, an outfit of their choosing. That's beauty enough. That is something to be loved and admired. Many are attracted by paintings. Some pay millions of dollars for a painting. That's what they love. And they spend that money for it. And I don't want to be too judgmental on that point, because I personally think it's a lot of money to be spending on something like that. I see it as waste. Because they're not because it may not make you feel that great, but because there's so many others who can't afford to buy dinner tonight, you know? So I see it as waste. Personally, that would not be one of the things that I'm really thrilled by. Then you have some people, they love to go to the park or go to places where other people meet and just look at people have fun. And that is beauty to them. So I'm saying we have different types. Some people appreciate things that you can't even touch, but it's special to them. It's special to them. It makes them feel closer to God, maybe. They like to see other people happy. And to them, that is a thing of beauty. That is a thing of beauty. I remember the first time I saw the sunset, not in the Caribbean, but in New York City. Because the sun is something, you know, it's there each day because it's giving you a good burn. But you don't pay much attention to the sun because of the buildings, all the big buildings around you keep you from looking at the sun the way we do it in the Caribbean. And I remember the first time that I went, I think it was the Twin Towers, and I saw the sunset. It was the most beautiful thing that I could imagine. To see that sun go down slowly, slowly, like God was dimming the switch. And then finally, click, it's gone. It went from light to darkness. It was a really beautiful thing. I experienced that, and I really loved seeing it. children playing. That could be a thing of beauty, especially when they agree peacefully, because children fight so much and they disagree so much, and it's me, me, me. I'm the one in charge. But when you see them peacefully playing and sharing, it's a thing of beauty. It's a thing to be really appreciated. Meeting with someone you love. Meeting with someone you love. It might be someone that you haven't seen for a long time. Seeing the face, the movements, the mannerisms. That's someone's that is special to you, that you see them do all these things. It is such a special thing. To me, it's a very special thing, and I know to many others. It might be a mate, it might be a child, it might be a relative or friend, but whoever it is, you love that person, and you see them and spend that time with them, especially when you haven't seen them for a long time. That is a thing of beauty. You enjoy the company. And at family reunions, we see so many dozens of these faces, these expressions, these love behaviors. When you hug and you really enjoy each other, and these are little things of beauty which we enjoy. It makes us feel good, makes us feel very happy. We think about it sometimes for days, but it's just a shadow. Just a shadow. Psalm 95, 3 through 6 tells us, "For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in His hand, and the mountain peaks are His." I think we have a hymn with those words. "The sea is His, He made it. His hands form the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord, our Maker." We need to do this. We need to do this. And we'll appreciate those little things that make us feel good. We'll appreciate them even more. We'll appreciate them even more. Because everything comes from the Lord. Everything comes from God. And we need to worship and love Him and appreciate all the things that He gives. We know today that the Lord made all these beautiful things. He made it possible. And we don't have the answers now, but we know they will come when He appears. What could be better? What could be so much better than these things that we enjoy so much? What could be so much better? Well, there are things. There are things to come. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3, it says, "See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him as He is." We know we're going somewhere. There will be a change. We will be different. But we don't know yet exactly what it is. But we know we'll be like Him. When we see the Lord, we know we will be like Him. Because we will see Him as He is. "And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." So looking forward to this, looking forward to this. We make sure we keep ourselves this way. Keep ourselves clean. Keep ourselves pure. And move away from the things that are not good, the things that are not pure, the things that are not right. Then we have interesting and exciting things. Interesting things, exciting things, the world is just loaded with them. And today we have the internet. Everything is online. As soon as it happens, somebody's there with a camera, taking a video, put it online. And we hear that if you present it to the company as a business deal, if it plays so many times, for each time they give you so much money. So everybody's in the race trying to get that money. So there are always things which are interesting, and we love them and we want to see them. We want to know how certain things work. And again, all we have to do is press those little numbers on the phone. The answer comes up. This is how it works. Every new thing that is made, an account is given to Google and these other, I'm not too up with the phone business, but they have all the information from the start. Every car that is made, every little blender, any kind of machine, anything that is made now, that information goes directly to these different companies. And they would have it ready for you. You just punch it up. It comes up. So we get so many, whatever you like. You can go online and watch it and watch it and watch it and get all the information you need. And there's some people who live on the phones because there's always something they want to know, something they want to see, and they would check it out. So there are always things that we're interested in. We want to know how everything works. And we would ask questions like the believers now would ask questions like, how did the Lord and the apostles use the great power of the Spirit to heal someone? You know, someone has this disease and they touch them, the Spirit heals them, the Spirit made them well. And the Lord and the prophets and some of the apostles even raised the dead. And you want to know, how did they do this? How did they do this? And these are some of the things that we have to wait for to find out. We have to wait for to find out. We'll know it when the time comes. We'll know it when the time comes. But again, as interesting as they are, they're just shadows of things to come. How did the Lord feed 5,000 people and more, 7,000 and more, with 2 loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fishes? How did he do it? We'll find all that out. It's amazing to us, but it's going to be better than that. That's just a shadow. Even the things that Jesus Christ did is just a shadow. Bigger things are coming. Bigger things are coming. How did Jesus use a little spit? Rubbed his finger in the dirt and healed a blind man's eye. How did he do it? Shadow of things to come. Just a shadow of things to come. Well, God has given us so much to enjoy, so much to share, to build on, so much to help us mature. We need to mature to get to the spiritual level that he is taking us on. And all these things are taking us there. All these things that we wonder about, all these things that we see, all these things that we learn. And the word tells us that we have to be patient. We have to wait. And we will get to that level when we know everything that's happening and the reason for them. And we'll see the difference between what's happening now and what happens then. And as interesting and exciting and all the wonderful things that man see today, have you noticed that there's always a wish, a desire for more? Something is always missing. What is missing? Something is missing because we are always searching, always looking to achieve something else. We never get to that level that we're satisfied and we can just accept what we have and say, oh yes, I'm happy, because something is missing. We're quite right when we feel that way. Something is missing. There is something much more. The things that we have are enough for now to teach us and to give us growth. But Allah tells us in the word, there's much more to come. And in the end, it will make us complete. It will make us look back and say, oh yes, that was just a shadow of what we have now. And the scripture tells us, not talking about just the things that make us happy and thrill us, but talking about the precious things of God, the things that he gives us daily, the things which nourishes and sustains us in every way. That as important as the blessings are that we get from God, they are just a shadow of things to come. We hear many sermons about wonderful blessings of God. Things that happen just in the nick of time when we thought all was lost. Everything is done. I'm losing everything here. And in the nick of time, a blessing comes. And we're saved. We're saved. Then we thought we were lost. Things we never expected to happen. And when they happen, we find them unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Well, brethren, as the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. And think about it, brethren, even the miracles of the Bible. Even the miracles of the Bible. Performed even by our Lord. Not just the disciples or prophets, but even by our Lord, even those, just a shadow of things to come. The most impressive account that you can think about, that anyone has ever known or seen, and we hear a lot of crazy things that we can't even believe it today. We hear a lot of things that we can't even believe today. And there's so much more to come. I wish I could give you a little glimpse of what was coming, tell you something about what we'll be seeing. But unfortunately, we don't have it. I can't tell you that. But we know that we have the Word of God that is just a shadow. This life is just a taste of it, just a little taste of it. The best I could do is to tell you of some of the promises of God. Some of the promises of God. What will be in the future? What will happen? In Micah, the fourth chapter, Micah 4, verses 1 through 5, it tells us, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. People will stream to it. The Lord, we've seen it made clear here that the Lord will be on the top. The Lord will always be on the top. But at that time it will be established. And peoples will, they say peoples will stream to it. That means people from all over. And many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways, so we may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We will be instructed by the Lord himself. By the Lord himself. We can't go wrong. We'll have the answer to every single problem, every single matter. We will have the answer to it straight from our God. We know the answers will be correct. He will settle disputes among many people and provide arbitration for strong nations that are far away. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. A world of no war. We have had war from the beginning, from the very beginning. Cain and Abel went out into the fields to work. And what did he do? He killed his brother. War. From that time on, it was just war. And we could go back even further. Adam and Eve in the garden. When the wicked serpent came, who's known as the devil and Satan, he came and made war between God and man, and between God and the angels. Because remember, a third of the angels were thrown out with him. War has been going on from the start. And God could have made it so that we had no war. But then we would be like puppets. We would be just following what the Lord directed. The Lord is directing. He's telling us what to do and how to do it. But he's giving us the free moral agency to do it ourselves. So now, there would have been none of this if he had decided, I'm going to just tell them what to do and make them do it. But the Lord doesn't want puppets. He wants true people. True people to believe in him, to follow him, and to obey him, because whatever he tells us is good and true, and we can bank on it. Verse 4 says, but each person will sit under his grapevine and under his fig tree with no one to frighten him. For the mouth of the Lord of armies has spoken. What a time. What a time. We have children in school now. They're afraid to even go to school because of the bullying, because of the wickedness. And they go to school each day afraid of what's going to happen today. Which bully is going to attack me today? We have our relatives going out each day, we worry about them, and they worry about us. They worry about us. My son goes out at night, and I worry about him constantly. I worry about him constantly. He's going out at night to work. And there's so much evil out there, so many wicked people. And you just leave it to God, because you ask God to take care of you and your family, and you know that he will. Verse 5 says, though all the peoples walk in the name of their own gods, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. So this is a glimpse of the world that we're expecting, the system that we're expecting and hoping for. No war, no fighting. And brethren, we can't see what's happening. The Lord hasn't told us. Being tested, we can't know everything. Because if we know the answers, we may do things just to pretend that we're going the way we're supposed to. We can't know it. We have to live the life that we're given, and the Lord knows best. The Lord knows best. He gives us what we need at this time. And he's telling us what to do. He's telling us how to do it. And we know the time will come when we will be in that world, in that system, enjoying the things that we can't even imagine today. And I guess we just have to say to ourselves, tell ourselves, and remind ourselves that the world, the life we live today, is just a shadow of the things to come. And there's much more in the future.